at our meeting, I will quickly go to Mr. Mutrumi. Welcome to everybody, to the department, to the ministry, to all honorable members and the public. This meeting is officially opened, and Mr. Mutrumi, can you go to the apologies and assist us as to who is not here?
Good morning, Chair. The apologies I have received is for the NCOP, it's Mr. Nyambi, Ms. Bibi, Ms. Labuskakne, and then for the National Assembly Committee, it's Mr. Kwangwa. There's also a formal apology from the Office of the Minister, who will not be joining us because he's in Cabinet, but the Deputy Minister is leading the delegation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mutrumi. I hope we all captured that, and we don't want to waste our time. And okay, there's somebody calling, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to members and colleagues. Chair, I want to record the apology of Honorable Maudoy.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Komani.
Chair, just your indulgence, Chair. It is correct that I'm here with the department. Just a request, Chair, that by 12:15, I just request I'll be offline. I have a flight to be getting into at that time, but I'll be here till that time. My apology, Chair.
No point taken, Deputy Minister. Honourable members, we are meeting now. We are here today to receive a briefing on the annual performance plan and budget for Department of Public Enterprise for 2022 and 2023 financial year. This is a joint briefing with the Select Committee on Public Enterprise and Communication, and I need to also remind members, as per the apology, that the chairperson of the Select Committee, Mr. Matebi, left Parliament for his province, and in that Select Committee, therefore, we have an acting chairperson, who is the Honourable Mr. Nyambi, whom I am told, and I think it has been reported as part of the apology, that Mr. Nyambi is out of the country in Namibia as part of the delegation from this parliament. Therefore, we are not going to be having Mr. Nyambi here to co-chair the meeting. However, I will seek the assistance from the Select Committee, Honorable Mrs. Modise will be taking the second part of the chairing. Honorable members, this briefing comes just 2 weeks after our recent oversight visit, where we interacted with the South African Airways, with DINEL, with South African Express Liquidators, and we met with Eskom and NUM on their complaint against irregularities at Kuberg Power Station, of which that process is still in progress. It's a meeting that we're still going to go ahead with it, with it as a joint committee with the Minerals and Energy. Also, honorable members, I think we're all aware that our state-owned companies are in a dire situation, and if nothing is done to assist these entities, particularly DINEL, that company will face liquidation. We cannot afford to lose such massive advanced industrial and manufacturing capabilities as the South African state. Therefore, we would love that entity to be saved and the jobs that are on stake there are saved so that we can be continue with that business. I think we have to appreciate the fact that in our oversight session, we met with appropriation, and we were invited by appropriation to a meeting where we had an opportunity to interact with the defense and other related stakeholders. And that was a very productive session, of which all these sessions, honorable members, whether it's SAAA, whether it's DNL, South Africa Express Liquidators, ESCOM, and so on, empowers us to be in a position to develop views and the positions, because embarking on a public engagement without having information, being a public rep, is a bit embarrassing. Part of our responsibility is to embark on oversight, meaning that directly interacting with stakeholders of those entities, directly interacting with the governance and executive of those. That's where the information will come. The information won't come through Ngosi's in some media newspapers, but or with some people in some corners. But the information, we will get the information, of course, from those who are having a responsibility to run those entities, which is the board, which is the governance and the executive that is running that in the entity. Therefore, it will be very important for us as politicians, as members of entities, to sort of get that information and use that information in order to advance and save these entities. Being critical with no information is tantamount to not say anything. It's just shouting. It's important, therefore, to at least have information, relevant information. I'm not saying we cannot get information from some people who are hiding their face due to safety or other reason or security. We do accept information from whistleblowers, but at the end of the day, we have to match that information with those people that are charged with that responsibility of running institution. It's very important for us to do that. The other last issue that I want to raise, we can be critical about how the rescue or the executive, including the entity executives and the cabinet, is dealing with how part of improving the situation at these entities. We can't be critical about the how part, but the rate of the situation is that the sixth administration, we have to appreciate that, the sixth administration is trying to resolve these issues, is trying to clean the mess that we have inherited from the previous administration in these entities. You know, we can differ as to how they do that, and then we develop our own perceptions and approaches in terms of contesting the whole part of that. I personally have problems there and there in relation to how these entities are being run or alternative measures are being applied. But the rate of the situation is that all those are done in order to rescue the situation we find ourselves in. Thank you, honorable members. Let's go straight without wasting our time to the ministry as usual, so that it can give us an overview and give the over to the department. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to you as well. Greetings to the honorable members of the committee, the joint committees. We really appreciate the opportunity, Chair, to present before yourselves what the department is looking at in the forthcoming years as part of our efforts to contribute overall in the effort of securing the much-needed reconstruction, the revival of our economic fortunes, our role we play as public enterprises in contributing towards that effort. I'm quite happy, Chair, with perhaps your contextualizing the environment in which these entities operate in. I think, yes, it's an environment that has got difficulties, some of which are a direct consequence of the era of state capture. But we are on the path of recovery, taking them out of that towards a path in which they positively contribute towards the well-being of our country. The department, we are led by the Acting Director General, technically, Ms. Jackie Modisane. She is the one who's going to take us through the presentation. Whereafter, I'm sure, as honorable members will be engaging, then we can respond to those. It is our really earnest view that we must be measured on the strength of the interventions that have been put in place. And we can see some of them bearing fruit. And we think that the future can only be better with the intensification of some of these. Yes, some may really need some financial injection. With the scarcity of financial resources, as we know in our country, it is one of the challenges perhaps that needs to be confronted by all of us. I'm quite happy of the strides, Honorable Chair, you've just referred to in appreciating the plight of Denel, which really is one of the key institutions to look after our country. Chair, without much on my part, can I ask, with your permission, that Ms. Jackie Modisane take us through the presentation?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, CM. Good morning, honourable members. I'm just trying to show my face so that everybody can see. To switch on my camera. Thank you very much for those introductory remarks. In terms of the presentation, I will actually flight it and share it with the honorable members and take you through that on the strategic plan for 2020-2025 and also look at the APP for the 22-23 financial year. In terms of the background to the department, I just need to indicate that the Department of Public Enterprises is, in terms of its mandate, it was actually is trying to direct and support the improvements in the financial, commercial, and the operational environment within which the SOCs are playing in terms of their contribution to the South African economy, and make a positive contribution to the transformation of the South African economy in line with the National Development Plan that was actually crafted in order to create a better and sustainable environment for all South Africans. So this is basically what we're trying to do, and really our mission is to actually make sure that we provide a very clear strategic direction and oversight to the department's SOCs by ensuring that all these SOCs essentially they're viable, they're adequately funded, and in terms of their operations, they are stable and robust. And these are keeping with the international global best practice. Going to the next slide. terms of the architecture of the department, in terms of the overview, we've got three programs within the Department of Public Enterprises. The first program essentially looks at the administration and the corporate management. And around the corporate management, what is actually in that area? It is the office of the DG. It looks at the information management, security, HR, communication, internal audit issues. And the program two, it's really looking at the state-owned companies, the governance, assurance, and the performance. That program is seized with the oversight of legal issues, whether it's litigations or the legal issues that the SOCs are facing. This program is actually looking at. Over and above that, there's also the financial assessment and investment support, where they actually interrogate the corporate plans of the SOCs, the quarterly reports that the SOCs submit to the department, and whatever PFMA applications that needs to be looked at from a financial perspective. So that is the program two that is actually looking at. And then we've got program three, which is the business enhancement and transformation industrialization program that is actually looking at, that's where many of our SOCs are actually, they actually find their homes in. That is the energy and resources unit. That is where they do the oversight on the Eskom, Safcol, and Alexco. The transport and the defense, that is where Transnet, South African Express, and SAA are actually located. And there's also defense, that's where Danel is actually sitting at. And we also have the research and the economic modeling of the department. This unit actually undertakes detailed research work that actually informs whether be it market trends, international benchmarks, economic modeling, the impact on the economy, etc. So as a department, in a very succinct manner, there are just those three programs. The first one, the administration and corporate management. The second one, the governance and assurance, and the financial performance of the SOCs, and the business enhancement. That is where SOCs are located in terms of actually measuring the financial, the operational, and also the transformational or the developmental aspects of the SOCs. Moving to slide five, there is what we call the logical planning system that we normally undertake when we exercise our oversight in terms of the department. And this actually entails a process where it actually informs how we actually undertake our oversight. So firstly, what we tend to do there, it is to look at the intergovernmental issues and try and actually coordinate and get input from the respective departments. That would be your policy departments, your national treasury, your presidency, and National Treasury, and whichever relevant entity, to then inform the strategic intent that we actually do put for our SOCs. For example, whether we're looking at the energy part of it, then we'll be, for example, we'll be engaging with the Department of Mineral and Resources and to craft the strategic intent statement for the SOCs in terms of what it is that we want as a shareholder. That, for example, probably entail like we want stable security of supply. And then in terms of the next step that is actually followed is the, once the strategic intent or what the direction from the shareholder has been indicated, then what we call a shareholder compact is then formulated, with very clear KPIs that are being identified. Those will actually entail financial, operational, environmental, transformational, etc. So those are actually is what we have in terms of the shoulder compact. And those SOCs, once they actually have that at a board level, then they will actually cascade that into a corporate plan. And the corporate plan will actually assist in terms of mapping a plan or a strategy for the SOCs in terms of how they intend to execute that mandate that they've been given by government. And then on from the corporate plan, then we as a department will undertake performance monitoring of these plans that are submitted to the departments. These will be quarterly reports, at times monthly reports, looking at the dashboards, the annual indicators, and whatever information that will actually empower the shareholder to actually assess the viability of many of these SOCs. And in terms of the next phase that is actually being undertaken is that once all these things are done from a reporting processes, then in order to share how the SOCs are performing, then the annual general meetings will be convened with the respective boards in terms of actually assessing the performance of these SOCs, and then we can then report to Parliament. So this is a logical planning that many of our SOCs follow in terms of providing the department with the necessary oversight. So in essence, what one is trying to say is that this is a strategic planning that we undertake as illustrated here that actually assists the department in order to undertake its oversight responsibility. Moving on to the next slide, in terms of just indicating the strategic plan for the 2020-2025, the department will review the 2025 strategic plan in terms of it must be aligned with the revised medium-term strategic framework. So that will actually, in terms of, we'll be reviewing that in the current financial year to make sure that whatever we put in the strategic plan is actually aligned with the medium-term strategic framework. So that medium-term strategic framework covers the period from 2019 to 2024. Going into the next slide, in terms of going into the different programs, as already alluded to the members, we have the economic and transformation and job creation in terms of MTSF as articulated, and the outcomes there, it is actually to look at the socioeconomic impact. And when we look at what are the indicators that are that we actually look at there, it is really to look at how the SOC support the reindustrialization of the South African economy, for example, how to increase the contribution of the SOCs to support the transformation of the South African economy, and there will be clear indicators that are actually aligned to that. So in terms of following on the slides, they give the five-year strategic plan indicators and targets based on the published strategic plan and the MTSF for the revision. And the targets essentially seek to achieve the socioeconomic impact, the oversight of our SOCs, and also to ensure that the sustainability of our SOCs is covered in terms of looking at the operational and financial performance of those SOCs. Going into the next slide, on the economic transformation, the other area that we normally look at as well as a priority area is to look at how do we then support the development of small, medium enterprises, and also looking at how do we accelerate the development of skills to support the needs of the South African economy. And attached to that, it will be accompanied by clear indicators that can be measurable. And this, I need to underscore that these indicators are compiled in such a way that they must adhere to the SMART principles. That is the program that we're actually looking at. Looking at the next area that we look at is the oversight that we look at is to strengthen the governance system of the SOC's performance and ensure that in terms of the execution, are they aligned to the oversight function and they're really implementing on the infrastructure programs within the SOCs and that they really do adhere to the MTSF, and we actually have to measure whether they're still on time, on budget, etc. So this is to ensure that all those MTSF programs that have been articulated, they're actually measurable. Just moving on to the next slide, we look at the sustainability, which is program 3. That is the department ensures that there is improved independent financial analysis of these SOCs to ensure that they're sustainable and they're viable and provide an independent view as to how they're performing from a financial perspective. And we also look at the operational efficiency of these SOCs by actually assessing against a particular key performance indicator as to are they achieving it, are they on target. If they are not, then what are the reasons for not achieving, and provide remedial actions in terms of what needs to happen. On that as well, on this particular area, we also look at how do we reduce the vulnerability, or rather reduce the risk associated with climate change, as we've actually seen, because it's become a very topical and a very relevant issue. So this is one of the areas that we are now beginning to look at. And we also have an indicator in terms of that, of looking at the climate change and actually report on that. And the other indicator on that is that with the global trends and what is actually happening, one of the other priorities that we're looking at is to see how we can transition to a low carbon economy by ensuring that we reduce emissions in line with the DF, the Department of Forestry, to actually make sure that the emissions are actually within range. So that is what we actually do. And we also look at, as an indicator, the implementation of the Paris Climate Agreement. That is a new indicator, as I've indicated. So going into the next slide, that follows that, the priority area on the economic and transformation and job creation, one, we're looking at the sustainability aspect of it by looking at the security of energy supply, and we also have indicators that are associated with that key performance target. Going into the next slide, we're going to now look at slide 14. What are going to be the mental priorities that the department, it will actually preoccupy the day-to-day preoccupation of the department. We've actually indicated that the new priorities for the SOCs, it will actually be to ensure that with what is actually happening now, the new priorities for the 2022-2023, it is to establish a restructuring office, and the rationale of putting this priority there is that we've seen some of the entities, given the impact of COVID and the business model not being fit for purpose and being in not being financially viable, and also seeing as well some of the SOCs not being the costs, the revenue are not actually being able to cover the costs. They become financially not viable. So it is important. It was important that we actually establish a restructuring office so that we can stabilize these SOCs and actually put that as a key priority going forward. We'll also be, as a new priority, want to establish a center of excellence around governance, and also make sure that now we have been the last financial year we spoke about the shareholder management bill. The new priority now, with the steps and the gains that have been done, is the establishment of the SOC holding company that we are actually will be prioritizing as a department, which will then culminate into a bill that will be shared with the members of Parliament. And the other strategic area that the department will be focusing on, it's around cable theft and infrastructure vandalism. We've seen some of our entities, they have been affected by the issue of cable theft and infrastructure vandalism. Especially this has been evident on entities such as Eskom and Transnet. So it is important that a concerted strategy and effort is actually made to prioritize this, because this has a very adverse impact, not only for the SOC sustainability, but also for the economy to recover and actually put it on a path of sustainability. So this was a very important issue that needed to be addressed and elevated to deal with as a department. A framework for the oversight shareholder model will also be a priority, especially given the fact that now we have some minority shareholding, as it's going to be the case, which is not the case. It's still under the process. For example, SAA currently are the 100% shareholder, but once that deal is being concluded, then definitely will be a minority shareholder. Therefore, a framework for that shareholder oversight model for all our SOCs needs to be standardized across, so that there is proper standardization and guidelines and framework that will actually inform our work as a department as to how then do we undertake this oversight function. The next a priority that we'll be looking at, it is to look at some of the financial options to resolve the financial issues, especially the one that is actually being a bugbear, that is actually an area that needs to find a resolution, is the issue of the Eskom debt, which is unsustainable and is actually very high. So our financial options need to be looked at as a matter of urgency to make sure that the issue of the Eskom debt gets resolved. Furthermore, we'll be developing guidelines in terms of getting strategic equity partners and evaluating their shareholding, whether it is going to be majority shareholding or minority shareholding. So there must be a clear standardized document that we can always go into that will actually inform as to then how do we undertake this. So we will be developing that guideline that we will be using going forward as many of, as some of the SOCs will be there will be majority shareholders, and others there will be minority shareholding. So it is actually being proactive in terms of dealing with the issues that are plaguing us. The other priority area that we will be looking at is how do we revitalize Alexco, which is a diamond business that we it's within the portfolio of the department, as well as Denal, given the issues that have been in the press in terms of how then do we revitalize these SOCs and actually restructure and stabilize them. We'll also be closely monitoring the ESCOM roadmap around the issue of the unbundling of the divisions, that is the generation, distribution and transmission, and see if those milestones and the project plan are being adhered to, and that we actually make sure that that actually happens as and when it's actually done. So that is important to make sure that in terms of undertaking this work, that is actually done within the prescribed timeframes. The other area that we will be faced with as a priority in terms of the department, it is it will be looking at the ICT, the sourcing of ICT expertise in the department in terms of actually making sure that we have a stable IT system and platform in the department so that given where we are at now, especially with the advent of the pandemic, many of people are now working on remotely, and they rely on using computers, and therefore it is important that IT becomes a priority of making sure that we have the necessary tools to equip the department in performing its oversight function. And the other priority that we'll be looking at, it is we'll be undertaking the skills audit and also looking at prioritizing the relocation of the department to a new building, given the fact that the lease of the current building, you know, it's going to come to an end. So we need to actually start looking at prioritizing for that and planning for that, and also planning the logistics and the funding of that to make sure that that actually happens. We also have to be prioritizing the district development model implementation and make sure that that priority actually finds expression in the priorities of the department for the 2022 and 2023. So in terms of those particular areas, it is important that as the department we begin to prioritize our activities in line with the new reality that the department is actually faced with. So just to go into the different programs, which is program one around the administration, essentially will be look that area. This area, I just need to underscore that the vacancy rate will be reduced to 8% per annum from the 18% baseline that actually has been indicated. I just need to probably share with the colleagues that as at March 30-31, we've had a total number of two approved posts, about 212. And just in terms of just giving a breakdown and some color in terms of that, the posts, there were about 12 posts that were unfunded, and the 164 posts that are going to be filled, and the 36 posts are vacant. So we will be working very hard, and that is why we thought it is important to elevate this target of the vacancy rate so that we don't lose our sight and focus of actually measuring and ensuring that indeed the vacancy rate gets reduced. We'll also be looking at the administration, the achievement of the individual performance agreement that must be linked to the annual performance plan as well as the annual operational plan, and the target that needs to be achieved in terms of this is about 80%. As well, as I indicated, this program is also seized with the improvement of the ICT infrastructure to ensure that there's 90% of systems availability is being achieved and maintained at all times, as well as making sure that this particular focus area around ICT, it is well capacitated with the requisite people and capabilities to carry out this function. We'll also be monitoring the implementation of the signed incorporation agreements to reduce SOC infrastructure vandalism, as I've indicated, around cable theft through the signing of the cooperation with the stakeholders. So this is the program that will actually be seized with that particular task. And also, over and above that, this program will be looking to conduct the public perception to ensure that there is improvement around the performance of our SOCs. So this is the administrative part of the program of the department. And the next program, it is the legal and governance and risk program. This one, this program is the one that is actually focusing on the shareholder management bill to be adopted into law by the end of 2023. And then there's also the work that this program is being done, which is the Presidential SOC Council that they are actually working on. I've already alluded that one of the priority areas, it is the establishment of the holding company. So this is actually being outlined earlier in terms of our priorities. And the program will produce an annual report along the activities and the recommendations to be implemented by different stakeholders. And the sub-program in this area is also to revise the MOI, the Memorandum of Incorporation, for the two entities, namely Danel and Alexco. And as indicated, the priority is the establishment of the Center of Excellent Governance and the development of a governance handbook. This will actually be seized with how do we appoint boards and how do we monitor the performance of the board members. Also in this program, there's financial assessment and investment support, whereby this program is actually looking at the assessment of sustainable options to resolve issues of the Eskom debt, which is also going to be a priority of making sure that we actually find a solution to deal with this. And it will also be seized with the establishment of a restructuring office, whereby a business plan to guide the establishment of the restructuring office is of these SOCs is actually established, pertaining to some of the SOCs that are currently quite vulnerable and not being they're facing operational challenges in order to make sure that they're being stabilized and they're being repurposed. Furthermore, they will be developing as a program guidelines of SOCs in terms of how then do we go about developing guidelines in terms of strategic equity partners or whatever JVs and evaluating shareholding, whether it's minority or majority shareholding. So we want to standardize the way we actually evaluate this and have a standard operating procedure that will actually inform the way we actually do this, so that it is not per SOCs, but it's actually right across. So these guidelines will actually help anybody coming in as a point of reference as to how do you go about evaluating the introduction of SEPs into an entity. The sub-program as well, it will look at, on a biannual basis, monitor the implementation of the AG's recommendations and findings and make sure that the AG findings and recommendations are being followed up upon and corrective and remedial actions is being taken and ensure that these SOCs actually begin to perform efficiently and optimally. The other area that this program is seized with is to is really around the compliance of reporting by reviewing the corporate plans that the SOCs submit to the department, as well as assessing the quarterly reports, including the PFMA Section 66 applications, ensure that all the corporate plans and the quarterly reports and the PFMAs are being assessed within the period and that all of them actually are done timelessly and 100% of that performance is being undertaken. So this is one of the areas that this program is actually seized with. And the other area that the Financial Assessment Investment Support, it will also host the CFO Forum on a quarterly basis. The rationale around this is that it is important that best practices are, you know, we begin to share those among the CFOs of the different SOCs so that people should not be battling, but we can actually take the lessons learned and actually extrapolate and share with the other SOCs, especially those that are performing well, so that, you know, in the portfolio of our SOCs, we should not be having those that are lagging, but we should actually share the best practice among the family of SOCs within the DPE. So that is the rationale. And also even talking about the challenges, whether it's the PFMA, how they're actually being able to deal with that and share best practice among the CFOs as opposed to battling with this on your own while other SOCs have been down that road and they can actually make it easy for people to learn. So it is important to undertake these kind of forums. Going into the next slide, the business enhancement services. The business enhancement is looking at the transformation and the industrialization, and this program will develop a gender responsive plan and monitor the implementation plan by the department and the SOCs. And on a quarterly basis, monitor 12% of SOCs procurement spend on business-owned companies, and also look at the SOC's local content verification, and it will go about doing this by developing and testing the local content verification in partnership with the South African Bureau of Standards in order to verify the local content procurement of these SOCs. So this is very important in terms of actually making sure that the transformation and the industrialization that has been envisaged, it will actually be monitored on by this program. Going into the program three, which is the energy resources, we'll start with the entity that program three is actually faced with, which is Eskom. This program, it will be looking at the shoulder compacts, the shoulder compacts that will be signed for Eskom. As I indicated, this particular program is actually looking at three SOCs, Eskom, Safcol, and Alexco. So shoulder compacts will need to be signed with each and every SOC to make sure that these shoulder compacts, as I indicated, in terms of the logical planning with the strategic intent statement, the shoulder compacts are signed, and then the corporate plans are actually signed in terms of these three SOCs. Around Eskom in particular, the area that we will be looking at is the energy availability factor, the EAF, where they will be monitoring the implementation of the interventions to try and increase the energy availability factor to above 70% annually up towards the 2024, as well as to monitor the implementation of the ESCOM plan capacity adherence to the infrastructure build program on a quarterly basis, as well as looking at increasing the reserve margin. So it basically we have to make sure that the 15% reserve margin is achieved by the SOC. The department as well, as the colleagues might know that we did establish a roadmap around the unbundling. So we're going to be monitoring the implementation and the process of the unbundling of the transmission, generation and distribution business of this of ESCOM, and also we expect that the corporatization of the distribution and the generation companies will be finalized by the end of the financial year 22-23, as well as looking at the nuclear part of it around Pooburg with the life extension. We have to monitor that on a quarterly basis, as well as the embedded generation. We need to make sure that as it has been announced that the embedded generation capacity, it is added, and we monitor that the megawatts are being added and commissioned on a quarterly basis in terms of how far the implementation of that is at. Going into the other program, which is Transnet, it's important that we actually sign the shoulder compact for Transnet, and also monitor the corporatization of TNPA, the Transnet Port Authority, as a subsidiary of Transnet. And this work we expected to be finalized by the 2022-2023 financial year, as well as the 10% improvement of rail-friendly commodities from road to rail by Transnet. We want, in terms of this, that we want the TFR, a division of Transnet Freight Rail, to move about 6.2 million tons by 2023, and to increase the improvement, and this will be monitored on a quarterly basis. And on a quarterly, it has to, we'll be monitoring whether are they able to move about 2 million tons. The issue of private sector participation in the ports and rail will also be closely be monitored by this particular program, and we expect that the identified PSC projects around Transnet will actually be monitored by this program. There are 13 of those that have been identified, so we just have to make sure that we actually keep a close eye on this, and this becomes a priority area that has been elevated in terms of the oversight that has been undertaken by this program. And then program three around transport and defense, the other entity, it is South African Airways, to look at the development of the framework of the proposed shoulder model, given the fact that we are currently working on the introduction of a strategic equity partner into SAA, and with government monitoring, actually monitoring that, and how we're actually going to be undertaking our oversight in terms of this particular entity. Looking at Denel around the defense, we'll be monitoring the mapping of the options to restore and the restore or even preserve the core and critical industrial defense capabilities of the four divisions, which is the Pretoria Metal Pressing, the Land Systems, the Dynamics, the Aviations, and the Repair and Overhaul. And they'll also be undertaking the diagnostic report on the root causes of the challenges of the Hoof Acer contract, and the lessons learned will be produced. And the department will actually be looking at that, and as well as monitoring the implementation of the defense and the aerospace master plan on a quarterly basis. Program three, it is seized with the research and economic modeling. This program, it will monitor the Just Energy Transition Framework on a quarterly basis. As we all know that currently there's a Just Energy Transition that has been undertaken that needs to be monitored, and with Eskom having established the office on the energy transition. So this work needs to be monitored on a quarterly basis, as well as what has actually been done in that area. So they'll be looking at the Just Energy Transition on a quarterly basis, even in terms of what are the activities that are taking place around the Just Energy Transition. For example, the issue of the leasing of lands around Mpumalanga and all those areas. So they'll actually be looking around that. And they'll also be focusing on the industry-specific research papers that will be produced quarterly. For example, around energy issues, they will be looking at the impact of the tariffs on the SOCs and also on the economy, and also looking at international benchmarking in line with what is actually happening. Looking at the budget, probably I can just ask CFO.
Good afternoon, DM, honorable members and colleagues. The MTEP allocation for the period 2022-23 to 2024-25, the operation for the department, we have been allocated 294.42. That is only for the operational of the department. On top of that, we have payments for financial assets. That covers an allocation for Eskom and South African Airways. The allocation for Eskom for the settlement of debts and interest is 21,857,000. And allocation for SAA for government guaranteed debts is 1,177,000,000. And the total budget allocated is 23,928,000,000. For the outer year, that is 23-24, we are allocated only 297.5 million. There's no allocation for the SOCs for that particular year. And the allocation for the 23-24-25 financial year is only 310 million for only the operation. There's no allocation for the SOC. Thank you.
Thank you, Livu. In terms of the department's budget, this the budget, it has actually decreased from the 24 odd billion, I'm just rounding it off, for the 22-23 financial year to about 311 million in 2024. This is an average of about 76.5%. This is due to the allocation made to Eskom, and Eskom is the main one that actually has received payments for this transfer. It's about 21.9. And then there's been transfers, allocation for Danel and South African Airways for the settlement of the guaranteed debt and the implementation of the business rescue plan. On the Eskom, it was also to assist the entity to pay the debt and the interest that the entity is actually having, because currently the revenue is not sufficient to actually cover that. And then the amount on that has been paid to Danel, it is to really cover the guaranteed debt and the allocation for SAA is ready to implement the approved business rescue plan that was approved by the creditors. So most of the transfers, they actually pertain to that. When we exclude payments of financial assets, the compensation of employees is the largest cost driver. The spending is expected to increase at an average of about 2% from 177 million in the 2022 to 2023 to 188 million. And in terms of this increase, is that it is important to underscore that with the compensation of employees, the whole idea is that it is important that with compensation of employees as well as filling of vacancies, we should be able to now fill vacancies on sector specialists, because currently the department, when you look at the waiting, of staff, it's more on the administrative staff. So it is important that going forward we actually get the proper balance of actually making sure that the deployment of resources in terms of the compensation of employees is to get the employees that have necessary knowledge on the sector specific issues, also given in line with the priorities that the department has actually articulated out there. So it is important that this becomes a very important initiative, and that is why we've actually elevated even in our APP. The payments for financial assets, as I've alluded to, it includes about 22 billion for Eskom for the 2023 financial year and 1.8 billion for SAA to settle the guaranteed debt. So that, Chair and honourable members, it is the presentation that we wish to share with the members, honourable members of the committee, in terms of what the department will be seized with in this particular strategic plan and the annual performance plan. With that being said, thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Acting DG. And honorable members, that is the presentation. And now I will have to give over to my colleague, Honorable Modise, to take the process of engaging the report further. Honorable Modise, can you take your seat?
Thank you. Chairperson, let me greet the Deputy Minister and officials that are in the meeting from the department, and my colleagues from both Parliament Portfolio Committee and Select Committee. I will start taking questions. Now I'm going to do like this. I'll start with Honorable Gumede, Honorable Smith from Select Committee, and then Honorable Kachalia from PC, and then Honorable Nana from Select Committee, and let me call them, an Honorable Kwanazi, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Butelezi, Honorable Arnold, Honorable Piri, Honorable Mamorobela, Honorable Kwankwa, and who else again? Yeah. Kwankwa and Dlamini, Honorable Malinga, then the last will be Chairperson Magaka, and last will be Honorable Whip of the Committee, Honorable Shabalala. Let's start, Honorable.
Honorable Command here.
Command.
Yes.
Command.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. I didn't call you your name. Sorry, my apology, Honorable Komani. You will come before Chair Honorable Shabalan.
Thank you very much.
And anyone that I didn't call his name or her name before I made a mistake.
Honorable Shamini. Forgot Honorable Shamini.
How can I do that? My apology, Honorable.
No. Honorable Dlamini speaks after Honorable Kwankwa.
Oh yes.
That was noted.
Okay, thank you very much. Before Honorable Shabalan, Honorable Debray. From Select Committee, now I can see you. You are in the meeting. I'll call you. Thank you very much. Let's start, Honorable Gumede.
Morning, Chair. Morning to the department led by the Deputy Minister, colleagues. Both from the committees as well as officials. The hands that I see there, I'm slightly intimidated. May you perhaps deal with them so that at least I'm not sure whether there is it a point of order. Can I just proceed? I'm seeing three hands.
Okay, Honorable Smith, Honorable Ngwenya, let me check with them. Is it the answer of questions or something else? If it's the question for the hand, I did call you, you will follow on the line.
Thank you, Chair. It is questions. Can I continue?
Okay. No, not now.
Okay.
Not now. I said Honorable.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. And thank you very much for the presentation. The presentation combined with that other document, on an annual performance plan. This time is a very good kind of a document that gives a forward looking of a strategy. The document, in fact, it's very strong on three things. I've seen it's very strong on reforms. It has sort of broadened its structure, the structures, I don't know whether in terms of monitoring, because they've set up quite a number of priorities, which in fact may necessitate that you have a very close monitoring in all those assignments. Then, Chair, it questions whether the department will have the capacity to kind of oversee all these kind of activities that have been, in fact, been suggested in some of these documents. Chair, I want to say, concur as well with perhaps the remarks or the opening remarks by the Chair. I won't have much comment on the budget side, but there are two elements that I want to comment on. I understand as much as it has been explained, the compensation of employees, it's always given a bigger chunk compared to other programs, sub-programs. This time is allocated 177 million, which in fact, as much as it is outlined that there was 164 taken on board, and there is 64 that's still outstanding. I want to appeal, if you look at the density of the program, it has, the 36 has to be taken on board, but there is an element that says the department is not too keen to recruit from the public sector. They will prefer to have the private sector. So if that could be explained, because my understanding is based on skills, or the relevant, let me say the relevant skills, we may not sort of be in a position to stop a person from the public sector to apply for a position if that person has got the relevant skills. I'm saying I agree with the Chair. If you look at our term of office, it's about to come to an end. I'm worried with the 23-24, do we call it, it's an allocation that has been rounded off as 300 million. I'm saying it has to be reviewed. I'm not sure whether ESCOM will at that time be ready to sustain itself. I will request that be critically looked at. And the 23-24 for all of us as this committee is critical for us. Because all of us, we know that we are going for elections and we don't expect any load shedding that may take place because there are no funds available to undertake some of the critical work that AXCOM may in fact be doing. Secondly, Chair, I want to say I think all of us, we wish to leave a positive legacy, not to remain with a state capture and corruption stigma. So it will be better that from now onwards, perhaps izinto zirare kusetshenzwe, and be sure. In fact, if we had the capacity, we were going to have more meetings, more reports in terms of structures that the department has proposed, and we want to get the feedback if ever there will be a way of rejiggling whatever needs to be perhaps be done. Let's just do that. So we want to go out and say we have left the legacy. But alikhoke isoka mhlambe elingena sici in a sense, as much as I'm saying the report in conjunction with that, it does give a positive hope that if all the recommended programs can be done in the recommended structures and the reforms are in fact followed, I think the department may get somewhere in terms of service delivery. Chair, my first question will be the secretariat, in fact, for the Presidential Council, last year, last financial year, was allocated 40.9 million, right? I just want to find out, was the department satisfied with the performance of the secretariat? And this is a secretariat from the presidential for the Presidential Council. So it has done the work as much as it's assigned to assist in the shareholder management bill. So I just want to find out as a preamble, because it's critical that we get the input as to how perhaps it performed. The second question is, it looks as if the finalization of the stakeholder management bill is always deferred. Ever since I joined Parliament, I remember my colleague Mkhwanazi has been the one who, in fact, been pushing this. This time around, I think it's deferred to 2023. I think I'll be interested to know what in fact are the challenges. I'm aware that we have augmented the Presidential Council as much as well as the consultants because of the mammoth task that's there. They will be assisting. But before they kick off, what has been the challenges so that we all understand what has been causing all these delays? The third one, Chair, is the board evaluation framework. It sounds a very effective and critical tool. Has it worked? Because it's we can't keep structures or keep perhaps the tools that are not of help to us, and then always when we talk, we keep on referring to them. Yes, I've touched on secretariat, especially the Presidential Council, as well as the consultants being assigned in the drafting of the shareholder management bill. Does it really need that much of a capacity? I'm talking about the management team. Does it need that much of a capacity? And do we have necessary skills that, in fact, will be in a position to push and make sure that in 2023, the management bill is, in fact, delivered? The responsibility of the Presidential Council appears very much critical. It deals with the shareholders, and most of the critical priorities, which in fact have been enlarged because we've got more. Then how does the PC, the Presidential Council, get perhaps evaluated? does it have the right skills? I've touched on that one, to execute all these responsibilities that has been sort of kind of assigned. On Dinel, I can only see the revitalizing of Dinel and Alexco. I won't talk much of Alexco because they are there on the ground, they are doing something. But the Dinel has sort of been crippled very, very much. What perhaps I wanted to know, revitalizing, what's a package? What is in there that can give us hope that Dinel will, in fact, get started? Could be before the financial year or next financial year, because it's critical, as the chair has said, that we can't afford losing perhaps Dinel. Perhaps for now, Chair, let me stop there. I hope perhaps my questions have been well perhaps put. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Smith.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I apologize for not putting my video on for the purpose of network stability. Chairperson, my first question would be, what is the department, because I didn't pick up within the presentation any mention of infrastructure damage. This is related to transit. Infrastructure damage, vandalism due to theft of the railway and cables and from Gauteng towards Limpopo through Sina. That whole line has been vandalized and is out of service currently. So I didn't hear any mention in terms of firstly recapitalizing it, and then secondly, ensuring that the necessary security is there to ensure that it doesn't continue, because I mean this is obviously going to cost us billions. The third aspect is, who is responsible and who's taken responsible for that. The second question I have, Chief, infrastructure development, which the announcements by the president. In terms of rail infrastructure, linking up, mines and melteries and all of that within Limpopo. We're talking about Tubatse, that side of Burgers Fort. We're talking about the Platinum Belt through Mogalakwena towards Lephalale and connecting it up with Lephalale. So I want to know in terms of evaluating the viability, because this thing has been mentioned before. How far is the department in terms of evaluating the economic viability and necessity for such a rail infrastructure development? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Smith. Honorable Kashalia.
Thank you, Chair. Priorities and monitoring are necessary and all very well. For example, monitoring the increasing of the energy availability factor in Eskom is crucial to see that it rises above 70%. I have to say good luck with that. But impact is in the proof of the pudding of monitoring and priorities. This helps us see how the allocations measure against impact. So to help us understand impact, I'm going to focus on three aspects and ask questions, three questions. around how we measure impact against the priorities that have been stated. Now, the first one refers to the comes out of slide 11, which talks about financial performance and the targets achieved and so on. To help us understand that, if these details are not to hand immediately, then can we please ensure that this is provided in writing to the committee at a later stage? So how much, for example, are the various operating companies losing in rand terms on a daily basis currently? This will help us understand the burden on the fiscus and the prognosis in terms of financial performance referred to in slide 11. So if we get that information, we can measure impact very quickly, and I think we need that. In terms of SAA, on slide 15, it speaks about specifically to SAA's the minority shareholding in the new consortium. So we need to understand there in terms of impact, because there is impact here again on the fiscus and on the state coffers, what the contingent liabilities are that the state will have to honor in terms of the agreement with the Takatso consortium. This is crucial. And, you know, finally, in terms of Eskom's debt, which is the largest factor, can we understand how this is going to be addressed? What are the financial options that are being looked at in detail so that we can, going forward, measure the impact over and above just saying, oh, we are looking at sustainability and we are looking at the debt. It has to be more granular. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable. Now I'll call Honorable Koman.
No, I thought it's Nana Chairperson. You said after Honorable Kachole.
Oh, good. Honorable Nana, it's fine. You're still fine. Good. And then Honorable Koman to follow.
Morning, everyone. Chairperson, this is a matter I have raised before. At the time, it was only damaging roads in small towns in the Eastern Cape. And I'm talking about, and I know it's not part of the department's presentation, but I do think it's appropriate for me to raise it in this platform. The issue of trucks that are transporting manganese from the Northern Cape to Port Elizabeth. I have raised it with the minister. At the time, I was raising problems that are emanating as a result of so many trucks on our roads. And I asked this question to the minister. As I said, at the time, it was only affecting road infrastructure. Now, Chairperson, those trucks are causing real havoc in the Eastern Cape. They're not only causing real havoc, but they're beginning to take lives. And I am very much emotional when it comes to this issue of taking lives, because a friend of mine was killed by one of these trucks in December. At what stage will we be serious about shifting to rail instead of having these trucks? I can't tell you how many accidents I have witnessed caused by these trucks in a small stretch of road between Nanaha and Port Elizabeth, which is about 56 kilometers. They are just running amok. At what stage and what is the plan of the department with Transnet to take these trucks off the road and get this and get the manganese onto rail. The second matter, Chairperson, is the issue of Alex Crow. I'm glad that the acting DG has touched on Alex Crow, but I'm hasting to mention this. In her presentation, I must have counted more than 10 times her using the word, we are looking into, we are looking into, we are looking into. From where I am sitting, this does not inspire any confidence. It kind of insinuates that, you know, cool down, we have this under control, but the house is on fire. You know what I mean? In the select committee, we had Alex Crow, and part of the issues we raised with Alex Crow is the impact of state capture. And it's imminent. I mean, it's clear to everyone to see that Alex Crow is battling with the after effects of state capture. And what's worrisome to me, the department just keeps on saying we're looking at improving things at Alex Crow. It seems to me that there is no plan in place to ensure that indeed Alex Crow, and I hope I'm wrong, I genuinely hope I'm wrong, Alex Crow is given a muscle to rid itself of the effects of state capture. The third issue is infrastructure theft. Look, Chairperson, I mean we can talk about this thing until cows come home. The fact of the matter is not the business of recycling steel. That's not where the problem is, despite the fact that the minister wants us to believe that. The problem is not with the business of recycling steel. Recycling is the future of the universe if we are to preserve planet Earth for generations to come. The problem is with illegal scrap metal dealers. And that has got nothing to, I mean, you can't paint everybody with the same brush, make everyone to suffer, shut down the scrap metal recycling business because there is a few rogue elements in the sector. What needs to be done, Chairperson, it's a concerted effort amongst all role players in the state, including law enforcement agencies. Police cannot sit on their hands hoping to get these illegal activities under control. They have to go and inspect all those outlets that are dealing in scrap metal. When they find that it is not operating legally, they shut it down. That's what needs to be done. Not shut the entire industry because of the problem of infrastructure theft. And lastly, Chairperson, I'm sorry I'm a bit long. And lastly, Chairperson, in an interview between Judge Dennis Davies and CEO of Eskom, Mr. Director, he said there is a big criminal syndicate at Eskom. You plug fraud and theft. You plug fraud and theft. All of a sudden, then appears another
another crime being committed. For instance, he said they managed to successfully stop the theft of diesel. What then thieves did was to shift focus, and they are now, and they have now discovered about 1.1 billion worth of stock being stolen from Eskom. The one other, crime that these people do, when they deliver coal, in the coal, they discover that there is rocks and metal. And the purpose of those rocks and metals is to enhance the weight of the coal that has been delivered so as to be paid more. He went on to complain about people that get arrested today, the following day get released on the instruction of senior policemen in service. And poor Mr. Director is on record as saying he can't fix Eskom alone. It is correct. What support does the department give Eskom so that Eskom can succeed and we get rid of things like load shedding? He has made it public that here are the problems. He needs support. What is the department doing? And I would really appreciate concrete. I don't know how to say it in English, but izinto zibonakalayo, and acting DG, this thing of saying we want to do this, we want to do that, it makes me nervous. I really would want to know what steps are in place to support Eskom. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Honorable Nana, now you will be followed by Honorable Komani.
Thank you very much, both the chairs, and good morning to members of parliament and the officials from the department. Thank you very much for the presentation. But, Chair, some of this presentations and when you have to engage on them, you become very emotional, because as the latter speaker has just said, I don't know if the department is really serious about some of these other matters. When we speak of shifting to rail, I don't know. Maybe until it hits home, maybe it is either the minister's relative or one of the executives from the departments that gets into this situation. It is then that the department is going to take note of this thing. We cannot speak about things for such a long time, and yet we come here and we always receive plans. Hence, I'm saying one becomes very emotional, and maybe some of these matters will not be addressed until they hit home, as we have seen some matters are only being addressed when they have hit home. Having said that, Chair, in terms of the denial, we went on an oversight, and it was so emotional. The committee members can attest to that. But then you then ask yourself, Uti, has the department really checked and assess the damage and that is being caused, and how many people are affected by these delays in rescuing the denial? Because if they have taken note of what I've just said, it wouldn't have taken us this long to rescue denial. Because it is, we always come here, we hear of the plans, and on those plans that they are submitting, there's nothing tangible to say to us, this is in fact exactly what is going to happen. So it is very disappointing. So maybe if the department can indicate to us, what is it that they are taking, why are they taking this long, and maybe they may be specific into how they intend on assisting Janelle. And Chair, again, in the matter of the cable theft, you know, we also went for an oversight at Eskom and others, where the same issue of cable theft and have been raised. But then you also ask yourself, Uti, is there interdepartmental communication? If there is, why is it taking this long for this matter to be addressed? Because we've got law enforcement agencies. What has been done? What is it? Why are they now giving us a plan? Because as we are seated here, we are expecting to receive the maybe a result of what have they done. Because there are other things that you don't need to take this long to come and submit a plan that will be interrogated or that will be assessed after 12 months or so. Because this cable theft is a matter of urgency that needs all of us to attend to it. But be it as it may, the department should take a lead in some of these matters. But they are not being seen to do anything about it. They're just giving us plans which are not measurable, which we don't even know. Because the next time when they would be coming here, would still sing in the same tune. But it's fine, Chair. So the other factor that one would want to raise, I don't know if in terms of this Alexco matter, the department, yes, I hear they are giving us plans. You know, Mina, I'm not too much worried about the plans, but this plans does not have the meat in their bones. They does not give us time frames. They does not speak to the agency of the challenges that are faced by the entities. Because mission to rescue Alexco, it has been set almost everything here. We're not hearing it for the first time, but now we are here receiving a plan. But the plan does not even have the time frames. The plan does not even have indications on how are they in fact going to do those things. So Chair, in conclusion, I'm just afraid, because we are a committee. We are almost halfway in our era. Are we going to be judged like being a committee that was just there to tick the boxes? Or are we going to be judged as the committee that was just there to receive plans which are not implemented, which we cannot even say out of this plan, this and this has happened, and out of all the plans that have been tabled to us, at least we could assist. We are in the situation with SAA now. I'm telling you now, this is just the beginning of it. And I'm sorry, Chair, because every time, I don't want to be rude, but this song of state capture, it has been there. But what is it that has been done? What are we doing? Can't we have a life beyond the state capture? Can't we have anything been done? And then there's nothing. We're only receiving reports. We're only receiving reference to law enforcement agencies. There are no consequent management. And most of these things, Chair, particularly to this Eskom matter, in conclusion, particularly to this Eskom matter, you can believe it or not, it is politically driven. There are so big giants in these matters. What is it that we are doing as legislators? What is it that we are assisting? Particularly, what is the department saying? We cannot now speak of the debt or owed to Eskom. It has been a song that we have been singing since 2019. What is happening? Thank you very much for now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Komani. Honorable members, even if you were the fifth person or the sixth person, but I use my discretion to call members. Sorry if I was calling you first, I mean, before someone. Now I'll call Honorable Mamkonazi. Is it Mamkonazi? Yeah, Honorable Mamkonazi.
Thank you, Chair. I was just reminding you, I thought you just forgotten me.
No, I know why I'm doing this, Mama.
Okay, no, thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair, Honorable Makata. Honorable members, the department led by the Deputy Minister. Chair, I won't dwell much on the comments. Honorable Kumete has covered me in most of the comments. I will go straight to my questions. To the ministry, I just want to hear their part and their take in the ability and the current budget and the current APPs that will be able to deliver on the department mandate to support one of the department mandates is to support SOEs to create an able environment to contribute in South African economic development through drive investment, to drive industrialization, to unlock growth, and to create jobs and develop skills. In their take, is the current budget and the plan for the department will be able to deliver on that particular mandate. Secondly, for me, Chair, is the issue on Program 3, the report of the department. The shareholders combat, if they can talk to the signing of those shareholders and why they are not signed, and if they can talk to the time frames to that. Secondly, on the issue of Program 3, I'm taking this, Chair, from the oversight from the recent oversight that we went as this portfolio committee, and on the issues raised on that oversight. On the go-back station, if they can talk to the nuclear operating license, the issues around there, and the issue raised by the NUM in part of their presentation, they raised the issue of the unreliability of the power station. I would really like to have the bite and the take of the department around those issues. Deputy Chair, from me, if the department, the acting DG, can talk to the proactive measures by the department, especially from the lesson learned from SAX issue to deal with the operational and the financial instability of SOE. What is it that they are doing? Are they learning anything? And are they have the proactive plans going forward? Fourthly, is the issue of stimulation of the private sector in order to invest in the capital, as per the priorities of innovative findings as per Performance Plan 2022-2023. How does the department plan to stimulate private sector on that performance plan? Specifically for me, Chair, if the department can talk to its capacity versus 2021-22 budget, where the department, in one of the reports, said they surrendered some of the money to the National Treasury due to the vacant post. And if they can also talk to the issue of using consultants as the department in their capacity. Part of my sixth question, Honorable Kumete did touch on it, and the Honorable Nkomane part, the issue of Daniel
operation and financial situation, especially on the staff salaries, based on the recent visit by the portfolio committee. Lastly, for me, Chair, according to the Auditor General, the department did not give them the adequate time to assess and provide input to the APP for 2022-2023. And I have the explanation from the department around that issue. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mama. The second one, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson, and greetings to the members and then also to the Deputy Minister and the officials. Chairperson, my first question is that the department have increased their priorities for state-owned entities from the previous financial year from 8 to 14 in the current financial year. Now, my question is it realistic to implement all these outcomes and priorities that they have listed, seeing that they have capacity constraints? That is my first question. And then the second question is, also, Chairperson, in the previous financial year, the expenditure on goods and services was not good at all from the department due to delays in implementation of projects and then also outstanding invoices, and I can go on with some of the others also. Now, what will be different in this financial year in terms of the expenditure of goods and services? Then, Chairperson, also, irregular expenditure. In the previous financial year, the department also in terms of was not compliant when it comes to their own supply chain management policy and also treasury regulations in terms of irregular expenditure, paying service provider, not even following the policies and then also treasury regulations. So what will be different this year, and will it happen again? We don't want to see irregular expenditure because every time we raise this issue also that we must not waste scarce resources. And then, Chairperson, also in terms of with regard to the 177.4 million allocation to the compensation of employees, can the department also, just in terms of the previous financial year, the impact of the 70 million that went back, and then also will we now see improved performance from the department? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Kwankwa? Kwankwa? Yes. Honorable Kwankwa?
He apologized, Chair.
Oh, he apologized. Okay. Honorable Ngwenya?
Thank you, Chairperson, for recognizing me, and let me take this opportunity to welcome the presentation from the department. My question and the contribution to the meeting are as follows, Chairperson. The department is midway through the medium-term strategic framework. I want to know how will the APPs and the budget which you have presented to contribute to the achievement of the 7 priorities of the government as stated in the medium-term strategic framework. The second question, Chair, I want to know what are the costs of irregulation expenditure in SOEs in the 2020-2021 financial year? Chairperson, 15 billion in regular expenditure was reported by SOEs of the Department of Public Enterprise. I want to check, Chair, that does the department have a plan as an oversight authority to assist these SOEs to prevent irregular expenditure? The last question, Chair, I want to check that are there any state-owned companies whose board term of office are due to end this year? If yes, can we get the names of those state-owned companies? On the contribution, Chair, in program one of your APP's priorities, which talks about vacancy rate and the plan of filling those vacancies, I wanted to take an appeal and a recommendation as member of this committee that the department should ensure that women, the person with disability, and the youth must be strongly considered for appointment of filling vacancies available in the department and its state-owned companies. This will assist the country to achieve transformation and the objective of NTR. I thank you, Chair Ngiyabonga.
Ngiyabonga, Momo.
Thanks, Momo.
Honorable Buteles. Honorable Butelezi, is it in the meeting? Honorable Butelezi, let me pass. Honorable Debray. Honorable Debray. You are doing my job very easy. Honorable Piri Momo.
Thank you. It's almost in the afternoon, even though it's not yet 12. But allow me to pass my greetings to yourself and the chair of the portfolio, together with the ministry present in the platform, as well as presenters or the staff from the department. Good morning towards afternoon. Chair, it has been said, but yes, we must make it simple for yourself to chair. Chair, there are two, three things that won't be related to their presentation, but let me start by checking with the department. One of their priorities is that they want to attract private sectors as a department, but then you find it cannot be their key priority for this year only. I believe last year, a year before last, and previous years, it was one of their priorities. It's part of their key role to attract private investors. What is it that they've achieved in previous years? What are the steps that they've taken to stimulate the private sector? What are the plans, actually, so that that the private sectors or investors must put more capital in our SOEs. Secondly, Chair, in their program three, you know, it talks about business enhancement, but according to my observation, if not correct, but I believe it's correct, in the recent year, the SOEs has performed poorly with respect to procurement. What are the measures that the department put in place to address such challenges? And, Chair, in one of their presentations, while they were presenting, or one of their slides, they are talking about government guarantees that were transferred to SOEs. But, you know, my question would be, what benefits or what will changes or the impact that will be made by those government guarantees, specifically SA, looking at the amount that has been put to assist in their debts, as a government we're still putting more money while we are no longer the majority shareholder. What impact, what are the benefits in terms, yes, we want the pride of South Africa to still be flying high, but what is it that it gives us as Parliament, as South Africans, popping a lot of money to SAA at the same time? Myself as just a layman who don't understand in deep or in a high level understanding, why should we still pop that money or give the government guarantees to an entity such as SAA? So, and on the same time, and you giving a lot, it might be not too much, but there's a difference between giving to ESCOM that us as South Africans, we think, believe it's a priority, but you are giving more to SAA. That is no longer, we are no longer a majority shareholder. So I get that clarity from the department. At the same time, Chair, what is it that the department has learned from the history or from what happened to Telkom back in 1996? And what is it that they've learned? What is it that they're going to do, which they think Telkom did not do well, but they will improve on it? Or what is it good that they've learned to Telkom and saying this one will not going to go wrong and it will be fine with SAA? So I also want to get their understanding. But Chair, I'm afraid, you know, with the APPs that we approve or we seek concurrence to NCOP every year, sometimes we need to get, I think we must also be given a space or be given a difference between the last year APP, what they've achieved, and what is it that they did not achieve. At the same time, while they did not achieve it, what was the stumbling blocks, and how are they planning to achieve that? Because it cannot be an APP that was not achieved last year, and this year we are no longer talking about it. We are not going in the right direction. But sometimes there must be a differentiation or a comparison between last year and this year. But nevertheless, Chair, as we are on this current one, on my last point, Chair, I am a bit concerned. Yes, it's an APP that talks about the future plans or what they want to plan. But we need not to forget, Chair, about the SAA Express. Ujabu has touched it a bit, but I think we need to emphasize on it. SAA Express has been liquidated, and while it's been liquidated, the department, my thinking, they were supposed to
also tell us what legal processes, such as the repealing of the legislation, will be required by the department. And a bit of saying, while they will be dealing with it, it's no longer part of the SOEs. What are their plans in the APP in terms specifically of SA Express? Chair, let me pause there. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Piri. Next one, it will be Honorable Malinga. Honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, the Ministry on the platform, colleagues on the platform, and the Department. Chairperson, most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malinga. Momo, the whip of the committee, Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair of the session, and I want to say to you, Honorable Modise, long live in advance. Sanbonani, colleagues. Chair, I think the purpose of the APPs is for us to check the performance of the department. And while we might be tempted to raise many other issues relating to other SOEs, but I think one thing that perhaps we should not miss as this committee, Select and PC, when it comes to this important exercise, is to really focus on issues of performance and the budget itself, and be able to ask critical questions of issues of programs. But nonetheless, let me try to do so. One, Chair, there is a program on annual performance plans analysis. Excuse my voice, I'm also not feeling well. So on annual performance plans analysis, there are on matters that you have performed as a department. I thought, let me highlight those. One is that you have percentage of vacancy rates as much as there is compensation, but that has reduced. You have percentage of performance management and achieved as per individual performance agreement linked to annual performance plans and annual operating plans, AOP. Percentage on improvement of ICT infrastructure services and 90% of systems availability maintained. We had percentage on population of ICT structure with new capabilities. Percentage on implementation of signed cooperation agreement to reduce SOCs infrastructure and through signing cooperation with stakeholders. The percentage on media publicity perception survey you achieved. Now, I want to ask questions on the ones that you have not achieved. On program one, is allocated the largest budget relative to program two and program three, excluding payments of financial assets. And yet the regulatory and oversight work of DPE with regards to the SOEs is conducted in program two and three. The question becomes, why is there a disparity between budget and performance outcomes of the programs? The National Treasury estimates expenditure 22-23 states that estimated number personnel for program one is to 123 for the 22-23 financial year. Why does the DPE spend so much on consultants, and that has been asked in program one, while the program is more staffed than the other two programs? Another question, in the DPE, the APP 2021, the performance plan target on number of training interventions provided was set at 10 for the 22-23 financial year. Why was this target dropped in the current financial year, considering that DPE is not really capacitated? I think it's very important. On the performance plan targets on sub-program 4, there's assessment and investment support in the number of SOCs business plans developed and restructuring unit established. How different is the work of this unit from the work of the Presidential SOE Council, just for understanding purpose? Now, Deputy Minister, I'm going to ask you a question around IPPs, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. The question that I have for you is that what is the percentage exactly that we envisage the independent power producers, IPPs, will deliver in the grid? That's as simple as that. So if you can just make us understand. Now, there is this issue on load shedding, and really it is really disheartening. We are facing winter season, and I think part of the programs on your targets, you have a lot of allocation around communication. I don't know why would you have communication. I ask myself that question. If it's spending so much, it's got so much money allocated to it, but the communication when it comes to other areas, we really don't see it. Perhaps this is the time where DPE and ESCOM ought to be communicating, if it means communicate together, if DPE has its own communication. But you have a situation where the matters around load shedding and communication is very, very important. So I want to ask the DMs that exactly which unit is down for a reason. Because there is this notion that we do not have capacity, meaning ESCOM doesn't have enough capacity because of the old system that is taking a real beating. And this was said by the COO. So now, and he further says, ESCOM knows exactly which unit is down for what reason, including the unplanned breakages. The lights were kept on during workers' day and into Mondays was quite courtesy of a lower demand that could be met by running 60 open gas turbines during Monday evening peak. And he further says, due to the depleted capacity and the delay in returning to service with a higher demand for electricity as the cold weather set in, and there was insufficient power to meet South African demand, said Oberholzer. Now, I want to ask now that what stage are we looking at going to the future right now, currently, and going to the winter season? And the fact that ESCOM needs about 4,000 megawatts to 6,000 megawatts additional capacity to the grid. And where are we going to get it? And how are we going to get it? As I said, Deputy Minister, the delays in IPP bid window. I want to ask you this question. The IPP bid window, the stage five, which is coming online, and it was reported obviously in July, and obviously it was set back from the date that it was anticipated in April. So I want to check as far as the records were concerned. We are all running on time with this regards to this IPP bid window 5 that needs to come, and the involvement obviously with a department as it runs from the Department of Minerals and Energy, just to get that synergy and that communication around it. Thank you so much, Chair.
Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shabalala. Chair of the committee, do you have questions to ask?
No. I'm still covered, Chair. Continue.
Yes. You're still covered? Okay. Members, do you have any follow-up questions? Oh, no, not follow-up. Do you want to ask any question before I can give to the department?
No, Chair. Okay. We'll come back.
Can I propose that we allow... Yeah, can I propose that we allow the department to respond with us lots of questions? I doubt we'll even have time for the follow-up. We're sitting at 2 o'clock. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Shabalala, for your proposal. But before I can give to department, let me ask department one question or two. From my side, there is...
Hello? And you seem to exercise your discretion. I'm not too sure if your discretion has since withdrawn my
Honorable man.
Lamin.
Oh, my dear. Sorry, Ntate Lamin, but I did call your name.
No. Chair, okay. I was waiting questions for my name to be called.
Continue the... Hello?
Hello?
You can continue. We don't have time now. Sorry for that.
Oh, okay. No, thanks, Chair, and I pass my greetings to colleagues. I think I have just two issues, very short issues to speak to. One, the issue of Eskom. I'll speak specifically about the debt, making an example of the Soweto situation. Has there been any effort to try and engage the people of Soweto in terms of checking how much they can afford to pay, because it's not that they don't want to pay. It's just that the debt has grown so much that it's not affordable anymore. And this I'm asking because it would be better to sit with a 3 billion debt and the people have afforded to pay 4 billion instead of complaining about the 7 million debt, which could, in all honesty, be reduced in one way or another. That's one. Two, on the issue of IPPs, I think there needs to be a more information sharing on the IPPs vis-a-vis how they are going to help deal with the issue of load shedding. Yes, it's at face value, it would appear that with more IPPs, we'll have more energy availability factor. But at the current stage, I think they are still a bit expensive. From a research point of view, IPPs are technologies. Most of them are still breaking ground, but as they develop, they will become cheaper. That's how, in the long run, electricity will be affordable through IPPs. But currently, is it affordable? Is it healthy? How far are we with that type of engagement? How involved is Eskom in terms of looking at the research and the development of the new technologies in the renewable space? That's the one. On Transnet, I think we need to also understand how TFR works with mining houses, because as it stands currently, the issue outside of infrastructure theft and whatnot, there's a bigger issue of capacity. Transnet has reached its maximum capacity currently. They need to apply for more capacity so that they are able to move manganese and iron ore in that line from Northern Cape to Cape Town and Saldanha Bay. That's an issue that would need the Department of Transport. And how that works is, mining companies would project that in the next 5 years, their output would be at this level. Then Transnet would make available that capacity based on the projected demand. When that changes, it is not fair to make it as if it's a problem of Transnet, whereas it's not just Transnet. It also includes the mining houses as well in terms of their planning and projections. So we need to be able to look into that and then decide how are we going to solve. Because throwing money into these problems is not going to solve anything, because we still have issues of encroachment on the people building too close to the rail networks and whatnot. And we can look at the issue of infrastructure theft and put it this way or another way. But the reality is cable theft is our reality. And that copper that's being sold through the scrap yards and whatnot. And the rail tracks themselves, they get stolen and sold. Now, the challenge where I think DPE and transport need to get closer to that situation is where when people are arrested, both Transnet and Prasa do not come forward to claim that copper is theirs. Hence, those people hardly get arrested because that property does not belong to anyone. So they get released and then it goes and it's a snowball effect. It grows like that. We need to also take some responsibility and put measures in place to deal with that thing because these are the problems that we accepted and have identified, but we are not coming up with solutions on how to deal with them. And in terms of the APPs, it would have been maybe better if we get the opinion of the Auditor General to say, hey, in terms of this APP and the last year's performance, this is what happened, this is the shortfalls, and these are the recommendations. And then the department would be able to tell us, in terms of the recommendations of the AG, how far have they gone, where have they succeeded, and where they had, there were shortfalls, and explain those. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dlamini. Members, especially from the NA, did I ask all of you to ask questions so that I must not left anyone behind?
Yes, Chair, everybody has asked a question.
Oh, thank you very much, the whip. To answer those questions. Okay. From my side, Honorable Deputy Minister, I'll ask you regarding the appointment of the board members, is there any criteria where it is said to, that they cannot sit in 10 or 15 boards before they can reappointed to serve as the board members of SOEs, or there is no limit, they can sit to as many boards as it is possible? That's the first question. And then to the department, the last question, there is a very little about SAFCOL. Yet we know the company is dealing with a lot of issues lately. What I want to know, however, is how did the department is assisting SAFCOL in reaching an agreement with the land claimant as far as the post-settlement model is concerned? Those are my two questions. Now I hand over back to the department, and they must bear in the mind that 2 o'clock there is a sitting. And Honorable Member, I'll propose that the department must answer, summarize, and by the end of tomorrow, they can give us all the answers in writing by tomorrow before the end of the day, so that we prepare for next week, Tuesday, if members agree. Whip of the committee, I don't know whether my proposal agreed. Is it.
Agreed, yeah.
GM?
No. Thank you, Chair. In view of your proposal, I think also earlier, Honorable Kacharya, in respect of some of the questions he had raised about impact, he had intimated that where we may want to come back on some of the questions, perhaps it's something that we can prefer to take time to compute the responses and then give them over to yourselves. I think we'll take that in view of time. May I, though, just speak on a few matters that have been raised. Firstly, just about DINEL. To say that as the department, we have really been doing as much by way of offering support given the challenges that Danelle has been facing over a considerable time now. You see, it reached a point, and I must say this, that where we could, had it been that we were the authority to do that, we could have provided them with an injection financially so as to be able to undertake some of the programs that could help bring Danelle back to life again. Where every other time the only solution has been to finance debt without any money going towards some form of recapitalization has not been useful at all until now. Where I think, as honored members would recall, we were at the point where we were looking to have a trilateral between Treasury, Defense, and ourselves, as well as Danelle in that sense, to look at how, in the context of the impact the challenges Danelle is facing would have not only on Danelle internally, the staff, etc., but also just on the other matters to do with the national sovereignty, the defense of the sovereign in the sense of the defense of the country. So we are awaiting that, and we have had quite some good feedback, and we're hoping to get to a point where there could be money made available. When that hasn't taken place as yet, we can only hope for that. And we do know the processes towards money being made available. Just that the comment I wanted to make on Danelle and regarding the issues to do with Transnet and the challenges to do with taking away some of the traffic on our roads, particularly the national road network, into the rail. It is desirable. It is that which we are working to try and secure it. But given the resource constraints in terms of the immediate infrastructure requirements and investment towards that, it is for that reason that there has been mooted hiving off some of the rail or the providing some opportunity for private sector participation in some stretches of our rail network without giving away the rail network per se. But again, this is a function in which a lot of matters must be looked into account, taken into account, the speed with which goods upon arrival reach their destinations, the issue of the means to transport that, the issue of locomotives, etc. But it is something that there is a concentrated effort to try and achieve some turnaround in respect of that. The issue of viability of some of these rail networks, it is in that context that together with the private sector that such has to be finalized in the final analysis. The last point, without taking much, is that to do with IPPs. Yes, this is an area to which it is the DMRE that speaks authoritatively in. I could hear from time to time the minister of DMRE saying that when they make an announcement on a bid window, it doesn't suggest that on the day the announcement is made, that which is part of that which is procured through that window will be available immediately. Sometimes the lead time is 18 to 24 months before you get that, because after the announcement, then there has to be a rollout of the infrastructure for that and the delivery of that. It is, of course, done on the back of the offtake agreement that has to be in place with Eskom. It is something that we have very little control over, but we can hope, as many of these bid windows has been announced, we will see a number of them being able to put into the grid what has been promised. I can't speak in specific terms. I may want just to come back to that so that we give certainty as to what bid window by when will be coming into the system. Chair, there are quite a number of questions. We can't just flip on them like that. If you perhaps check with the acting DG if there is any matter that perhaps may need a response to now, or the rest can be dealt with in the form of a supplementary that should be furnished to the committee. With your permission, Chair.
You're welcome, DM.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, DM. I think it is quite correct. We've got quite a number of questions that we need to respond to, and also understand that we are constrained in terms of time. But probably just to give the members of the committee around the issue of the bid window, just to pick up on that one. Chair?
Yes.
Just to respond on the issue, just to piggyback on what the DM was actually responding around the issue of the bid windows and by when, I can just indicate to the committee on ESCOM that the bid window 5, it has actually been signed, it has been approved by the board. So we are actually looking at the other bid windows that we've received, the PFMA applications for the bid window 6. And in terms of the bid windows, those bid windows, we want to finalize those with the necessary approvals by end of the month. In terms of actually getting that done. Just to respond around the issue on ESCOM as well, around the issues of operations, I think I want to probably put it in the context that, the operations currently, they're challenged, it is correct. We do need 4,600 megawatts in terms of actually dealing with the issue of the stabilization of the energy supply, and that probably would even give us space and the time to actually undertake the necessary maintenance. I think it is correct, and we acknowledge the members have actually alluded to that load shedding is having an impact on everybody else. And what is actually required right now, it is that it is important that ESCOM actually undertakes the necessary maintenance to actually do that, so that it will also be very good to know as to how long will that be, so that people do know as to the maintenance will take place for this particular period, and thereafter we know that everything will be fine and stable, so that we can have clarity, stability, and even for the investors to know that after all these things have been done, then there could be proper planning, proper investor confidence in order to bring investors on board. The issue of cable theft, the members, the honourable members have rightly articulated that issue. It is definitely a serious crime that is really hampering on the economy. And I think what is important over and above reporting this to the police, it is important to actually get the prosecution to actually be done, to also close that loop, because it is not enough that the police actually arrest these people, but they must be prosecuted. And in terms of that, ESCOM, it has signed a collaboration with the SIU in order to actually make sure that some of the issues that they've actually articulated, then they can actually begin to deal with that. So basically what I'm underscoring here is that, yes, it is important to arrest the people, but it is important that people become prosecuted for these crimes, because it is impacting on the lives of the people. Around the issues of board of in terms of, let me just probably just stick around on the issue on ESCOM, just as the members have actually articulated,
I think, yes, it is correct. You know, in terms of even the breakdowns on the power stations, in terms of them indicating that they're experiencing bullet chip leaks, in terms of that, what is actually the department is actually being very active in terms of actually monitoring this. Not only do we rely on the quarterly reports, but we also receive updates in terms of what is actually happening. So we have actually started being proactive to begin to monitor as to what is happening in terms of the generation performance. So I also need to link the issue of the generation performance that even dealing with the issue of debt, until we stabilize the operations, it is important, because then if operations are still not stable and not giving us the necessary energy that we require, then the entity will continue to use diesel and use OCGTs, and therefore this will actually increase in terms of what Eskom had planned in terms of what they were going to be using this money for. I just need to indicate that just to give the members some perspective in terms of how we actually even monitoring that. We also very much aware of the power stations. We are very close to it. For example, we know that Letabo Unit 4 is experiencing the boiler tube leaks and is expected to be taken off that. And then Kusile Unit 1 is tripping since yesterday due to the fault of the FGD pumps, and we expect that to return by 4 p.m. today. Hendrina Unit 4 and 10, they've been taken off due to blockages on the ash dam, and the Duba ashing flooring, the ash plant will actually lead to, we're actually dealing with that. So even the issues of, in terms of us looking at the operations, it's not just at a top level, but it's actually at a power station level in terms of dealing with these issues. On the issue of PSEC and what we're actually doing, that work is actually being undertaken by the presidency, and the department is actually working as a secretariat in terms of that. There has been strides that have been made in that regard. That is why now we're even talking of the HOLCO that is being established with the bill that the colleagues are actually working on to making sure that it actually goes through to Parliament, and it will be shared with the honourable members once that has actually been done. So that is what is really happening there. In terms of the department, I think the honourable members, I think they're quite correct to indicate that yes, the department has been skewed much more into the administration, and the vacancy rate is quite a challenge, and we are actually dealing with that. In terms of just saying we want to get the private sector people, what I need to underscore is that when we go for recruiting of vacancies, we look at both public and private to attract the required skills, both from the private sector and the public sector. Yes, we have tried to advertise, and the challenge that we've actually had in the past, you know, unfortunately, when we actually went out, we were not able to find candidates when we actually went out. So as well, it is important that as we want to undertake this, as the, I think it was Honorable Hadebe was indicating, and the members, to say in terms of the sixth administration, in terms of the task that we've actually put at hand, we don't fill vacancies for the sake of filling vacancies, but making sure that those vacancies, when you fill them, they will actually enable us to undertake and fulfill the mandate that we've actually set for ourselves, and make sure that the
the kind of people who will be employed will be able to execute on the mandate that is before us. So in terms of the other additional questions around even the boards, when we actually even appoint them, we actually make an undertaking and assess as to how many boards the people are actually sitting on, because we understand that other people have become professional board members. And obviously, if you are stretched, you're not going to give the necessary attention and the time that is required for you to serve on those boards. So we actually take, that is one of the considerations that you want, that we actually take into account when we appoint board members, as well as making sure that when we appoint board members, board members are actually aware of, they've got a grip on what is actually happening in the sector. In terms of the issue of state capture, in terms of Zondo, the boards of the respective SOCs are actually working on implementing the recommendations thereof. The reality is that state capture actually did hollow out many of very good professionals, and they've actually been chased out of these organizations. So the reality is that even in the SOCs and in the departments, we have to make sure that we actually begin to reskill and also attract the necessary people to undertake the mandate that the SOCs have actually done. So we not only should we, the private sector people will actually augment that which is actually currently there for us to be able to deliver on those issues. So on the other issues, Chair, we are quite happy to provide a much more comprehensive response to the members of the portfolio committee in terms of addressing the individual questions that have been asked around how we actually dealing with that, the issue of having of impact, and also for industrialization. We also take note and support the utterance by the member that has actually raised the issue that even when we actually recruit, we must take into account the issue of women and people living with disabilities to augment these organizations. But the reality is that, yes, we've got to acknowledge that the entity, like for example ESCOM, they can do so much, but most of these things then have to be elevated. Even talking about the issue of cable theft, and this needs a wider, probably a collaboration, not only law enforcement agencies, but also the prosecuting agencies, to actually ensure that we actually deal with this. The scrap metal has been a big issue. It has impacted many communities as a result of this. It costs money, and for the time that, you know, cables or transformers have been stolen, it's having an adverse impact on the lives of people, schools, hospitals, etc., and it's very disruptive to even businesses. So it is important that we begin to elevate it, and we're working very closely with the security clusters to actually deal with these issues in terms of that. Yes, we do take note of the issue of the road to rail strategy that needs to be fast-tracked. Because of the impact that it's actually having, we cannot afford to be having trucks on the road, because obviously they damage the roads, and also even to transport even coal on by trucks, it actually results in additional costs in terms of actually transporting coal. The most efficient manner of actually transporting coal to the necessary power stations, it is through the conveyor belts. And also, yes, it is an issue that we should limit the number of trucks on the road. And also even the people who are actually, you know, begin to undermine this, because they're actually benefiting. It is true that when
people, for example, in terms of the coal that has been there that does not meet the quality, and there's the stones, and that leads to breakages on the power stations. It's issues that we need to deal with because it actually undermines that. But the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, we need to actually deal with this, because the people are actually benefiting out of this crisis, because when these power stations break, then we have to go back to those people. So it is a concerted effort that we need to deal with this issue of coal and the optimal way of actually making sure that we actually get the best grade of coal and we use the conveyor belt in terms of actually transporting coal to the necessary power stations. But without me taking too long, we will actually comprehensively respond to the questions that the honourable members have raised in writing formally and address them adequately given the constraints of time. I'm mindful of that if the committee is fine with the response. I can take guidance from the chair and the honourable committee members.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, members. Acting DG have responded, and then the other questions will put it in writing. So I don't know whether you agree with her or you still want to ask more follow-up questions.
Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, I think we have already agreed that in the light of the time constraint, we will ask them to write those questions, those answers, and then we get it before the end of tomorrow. And in the light of that, therefore, I think we are almost towards the end of our session.
Thank you very much, Honorable. And give back to our NDM and give back to my chair of the committee to close the meeting or to do something if there is something. Honorable Makaka. Now I'm taking back to
you. Okay, sorry, Chair. Thank you so much, Chairperson, Honorable Motise. I think I'm seeing hands. I don't know whether it's legacy hands or is the heads that want to contest the decision. Honorable Lami? Is it a legacy hand?
Legacy chair.
It's an old hand, chair.
Okay. Okay, so thank you. Honorable members, I would like to ask Ms. Brownwell to make a last issue. There is an issue that she has asked us to give an indulgence that can quickly take us through. Ms. Brownwell, the researcher.
Before, Chair, I see. I don't know what is all about, Honorable Smith.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Yes, Alfred.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the network is very unstable. The department, and that might not be tomorrow, but it might be a bit later, you know, through time, give us a full layout in terms of Transnet's infrastructure on the rail infrastructure damage per province, and what is the estimated cost damage to that infrastructure. So if we can get that in writing, in a report, feedback, it will be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. I think the department have captured that. Honorable members, just ask Lee.
Hi. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. I just want to bring the members' attention to the parliamentary research unit survey that we're sending out. I sent the Sang Center email to the committee yesterday regarding the survey. So I just wanted to introduce it to the members, and please ask the members if they have time to please complete the survey. So basically what the survey is about, it's regarding the services that the research unit in the in Parliament offers to the members. And we want to get feedback on how the members interact with this research that we give, and if there's any way that we can improve it, and what members expect from the research unit. So it's not per se about me personally, it's just about our services that we offer to the members for Parliament. So if we can get as much members of Parliament to do the survey, we'll have more credible information and to improve our services to the members that we offer. So it's basically regarding the research unit's outputs that we give to the members. So the email was sent yesterday by Dasang, and there is a link on the email that you can click. It's a Google survey. It'll take you about 5 to 10 minutes. And if members can please take the opportunity to do the survey, it will run. It's already open. The survey is available until the 1st of June. And there will be email sent out in the info alerts just to remind members as well to complete the survey. So if you do have time, please complete the survey. It will assist with the outputs that the research unit is trying to improve on and to make it more relevant for the members. So if you can assist with that, that would be very helpful. Thank you. That's all. If members have questions, you can address it to me.
Recording in progress. Thank you. That is the honorable members. Honourable members, I don't know because my gadgets are giving me some problems now. I think we all heard what she said, and we will participate on that. All I can say now is that we have reached the end of our session. Thank you to the department. The acting DG was helpful. Thank you to the ministry. I know he asked to be released earlier, and that has affected the deputy minister. I hope you'll catch his flight in time. And thank you to all of you, honorable members and the staff. And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.